It's time for Breaking Chains with the Full Gospel Hour of Prayer. Join us for prayer, praise, and worship with Pastor Beatrice Smith. It's Breaking Chains with the Full Gospel Hour of Prayer on YAT Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Today is a good day. We're Breaking Chains this afternoon with Healthy Monday, and we are here to talk tonight with Queen Sheena and King Bo, and I'm Elder Katrina, and we say good evening. I hope that you all have had a healthy day, a rich day, and a prosperous day. Tonight, I'm excited. I'm extremely excited because I feel good. It's been a good week already, day two of the week, right? And I am just so excited to hear what the Queen and the King has to talk to us about tonight because I have my pen and my paper handy. Are you guys ready?
Yes, we are,
definitely.
Queen.
Definitely.
All righty.
All right. How's all my beautiful people doing out there today? I hope everybody's enjoying the beginning of their week and enjoyed their weekend and had a fun and safe weekend.
Good evening, kings and queens. How's everybody doing this evening? I'm looking forward to another fabulous, fantastic, informative talk with you all. Hopefully we have some call in, so we can get some, you know, get the community, get some camaraderie, get some relationships building around here. But I'm looking forward to tonight.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and give everybody a number so that they'll have something to call in to. We don't want them calling in to dead air. So listeners, listen, we want you to join us tonight. Feel free to dial in to 858-357-9137. Or you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com and listen in so that you can fill in and be able to help, you know, take up a little bit of this air that we are breathing and understand what it is about living a healthy life or getting to that point where you are feeling as healthy as you are doing. All right, I'm letting you guys take it from here.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful kings and queens out there, me and my beautiful queen wanted to let you guys know a little bit more about us, our life mission, and what we're currently doing in the community and how we're making a difference. So bear with us a little bit. We might jump around from here to there. And basically, this relates to health because our whole mission is the health of our community, the health of our people. Again, physically, mentally, spiritually, economically, relationship-wise, anywhere we can improve, me and my wife are going to be there to try to help our people improve. And that's why this radio show is so wonderful. And again, want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to reach the people and let them know how to possibly live a healthy lifestyle or a healthier life or how to implement a few things that boost the value of their life. So, again, thank you for this opportunity. And I guess we'll get to telling you a little bit about us and how we got to Alabama and how we got to the point to where we are now. And we hope we don't scare anybody out.
We ain't scared.
So me and my wife are both originally from California. I'm not going to go too far back, so we do both come from the hood. We do come from, my wife says, humble beginnings or troublesome beginnings, or, you know, we come from the statistical life that is portrayed negatively in our community throughout the media. So we had when I was young, I lost my father at age 8, which can be detrimental to a child's mental health. My mother suffered from drug addiction not long after that. I was placed in and out of the systems and stuff. Throughout my childhood, throughout the juvenile systems, and because I was a rebellious kid. But no one took the time to think about my mental health status or getting me. They put me in front of doctors, but they never thought about how can we really help this guy? How can we really get to the bottom of the problems? So anyway, again, I'm not going to stay too far back on the beginning of our life, but we had a rough coming up, and we our story is a story that probably needs to be told, especially to our youth. So me and my wife met, and we fell in love, and we started to have our little people and have our family. And we ended up, and this is all in California, the way we got out here to Alabama was we came out here to help take care of my wife's grandmother and mother in Birmingham. So we agreed to come out here. Long story short, the mother was kind of too much for us to handle, and the grandmother was too sweet for us just to roll up and go back to California. So we ended up coming to Mobile so we could be close. And, you know, my family was from Mobile, and I also wanted my kids to experience Mardi Gras as I did when I was younger. So we came out here, and we kind of got stuck in a year lease. And when we lived down there off of Azalea Road in Seabreeze. And, you know, we people weren't too friendly to us at first because we talked like Californians or police. So that's what they like to say. You know, you talk like a police. But we immediately start helping the community. So we had a tyrannical manager over there who used to intimidate people. She was just blatantly racist, you know. But one thing we know is that the law, whatever the law is, that's what we're going by. So you can have your preferences on people, your biases, but, you know, today we're going to go by the law. So I was empowering our people over there in that particular apartment building. The manager was saying stuff like, you guys can't hang out on your porch, or you guys can't do this, or you guys can't do that. Anyway, we were empowering people. Then people start, or the manager would do stuff like not saying, because she didn't like attendance, she wouldn't send the maintenance over there to fix the air conditioning. It's the middle of the summer. There's laws against that. So basically, we start helping our people realizing their rights and letting them, helping them stand up for themselves, empowering them. And then from there, people were knocking on my door asking me, can I help with this and can I help with that? It could be I help somebody get their disability. My wife were helping people fill out paperwork, helping people with resumes, also feeding people. We had a couple friends who come over to feed. And again, this is important because we're talking about community and being a healthy community and being a healthy people. So we were able to lend our services because we might have been a little bit more red, or we had a higher tolerance for some of the bull that our manager was getting than these other tenants, that we were able to help them. So we were building positive relationships amongst our community. And again, they were really apprehensive at me and my wife at first because we talked like we were from California. We talked like we were white, or we talked proper. So anything we asked them, they thought we were trying to set them up or something. So this was our way of building these community relations with the people around us by helping them. Okay. From then, we realized that Mobile can really, and we were limited on what we can do because we didn't have a car, we were on the bus, but, you know, we did realize Mobile can really use our help as far as our people advancing themselves. And so we decided to stay and give it a try and say we're going to dedicate ourselves to helping the people versus our old life where, you know, we were tearing up the community, now we build the community. You know, we're out there taking life, so to speak. Now we're giving life. You know, I used to drain people's energy. I come around, you know, even my homeboy, they're like, here he come. He's going to be in some mess in no time soon. So, you know, I used to, like, suck the life out of people when I come around because of my negativity. Now when I come around, the young brothers and sisters know that I'm going to breathe some life into them, whether I'm talking about gardening, whether I'm talking about building your economic status, getting a job, building something for yourself, or whether I'm talking about fatherhood or sisterhood. People know when I come around, people like to say, you a fresh breath of air. And I might just be patting myself on the back a little bit. I probably can't name a person who said that, but I would like to think people say that about me. But seriously. So me and my wife dedicated our lives to the people. And when I say the people, I mean to our people, to the injustices that go on in our communities, to the injustices that go on across the nation. And during our transitioning time, you had a lot of police killing our youth across the nation in the communities. Young youth were mad. Young youth were scared of the police. And again, me and my wife have community people. The youth gravitate toward us because we, one, we always fill them with positive knowledge and positive energy. And for two, we're cool. Just point blank, we're just some cool people. You know, we hang out, we chill, we're cool. So a lot of the youth were expressing their anger toward the system at this time here in Mobile. And it was like, F the police, if they come, woo, 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 all type of counterproductive stuff that our youth shouldn't even be thinking about. You know, our youth should be thinking about graduating high school, you know, thinking about how to be a more of a family type of person to your family, or thinking about their future. They shouldn't be thinking about police and police brutality and what if it happens to us, so on and so forth. So me and my wife originally got into the fight with just the injustices that's going on in Mobile. And the first one was the bus, because we rode the bus. So during the time when they started cutting the buses, me and my wife were out there on the front line, bringing attention to it, because there was an injustice in Mobile that affected our people. So if you cut the buses, already not efficient, because our people can't get to where they need to be on the bus. We're limited to the doctors we can use. If you don't have a car, if you depend on the bus, we're limited to the dentist. We're limited to the places we can work, and we're limited especially to certain stores. So if I wanted to go down here and get me some fresh produce from one of my favorite stores or a market of sorts, and the bus doesn't run there, I'm not able to do that, which is a hindrance on my life. So I'm forced to go to the Piggly Wigglies and the places where the produce is not as good or glamorous. So that was our first fight we got in. In Mobile. And babe, you can jump in anytime you want. All right. Our second thing was when the young brother, Michael Moore, was murdered by the police. And many people jumped to a conclusion that he was a thug, so on and so forth. But I can tell you that he wasn't. You know, he was actually a young man that we all would have been proud of if we met him when he was living. So I'll leave that at that. But we, you know, we stood with his mother, and as long as his mother wanted us in the fight, even to this day, we stand with the mother, we stand with the family, because it was a sad thing to see. So again, building community relations is very important. Building these community relations is very important. So that was the injustices we seen in Mobile, and as we continued our fight, and we continued to want to be difference makers in our community, we started to realize that health was an issue in Mobile, in the South, in our country, or whatever. Health is an issue with our people. If you look, all we have to do is look at some of these other nations, and they don't have the health problems we have. They're not dying from diabetes. They're not dying from hypertension. They're not dying from the preventable diseases that we talk about on a weekly basis on this show. You know, they're living, a lot of countries, even some of these poorer countries that we would think have shorter lifespans, have longer lifespans than us Black Americans over here, or Americans, period. So we start realizing that, especially when we start changing our diet. Me and my wife already ate a predominantly healthy diet. We ate chicken and fish, veggies, period. We never went too much into the snacks and stuff like that, but we ate healthy. And when we start transitioning more to vegetarian and vegan, that's when we start realizing that Mobile had a problem, because it's just hard to get fresh, quality fruits and vegetables in Mobile. I mean, Winn-Dixie, you can go to the Winn-Dixie, and they have a nice section. But when you start talking about organic, you go look at the little organic section, or you start talking about alternative things, especially if you're not eating no meat at all. You know, you want the mushrooms, you want your squash, you want the other things that and a lot of these stores in our communities don't provide that. Again, if you're on a bus, you're only limited to certain stores where buses go and bus stops are at. If you don't have a car, you're limited to that maybe one trip to the store, and you get all your stuff for the whole month. And we know if you get tomatoes at the beginning of the month, you ain't going to have none at the end of the month. You know, you ain't going to want to ask nobody for a ride. So we start realizing that that's one of the biggest problems in Mobile. And a lot of people, and of course the violence is can get out of control. This summer, a lot of women were being murdered. Last year, I think 11 youth, a lot of youth were murdered last year. And I mean, that's also a problem. But that's fixable with reaching our youth. So our youth, again, community relations. That's what we're talking about right now. Just building community relations. So when we do see our youth out there doing a positive thing, you know, stop and reward them. You know, stop and reward them. Stop and say, young brother, I seen what you did, and I was righteous. And that'll promote them to keep doing so. Because if we see that young brother do something negative, you know, we'll stop and say, man, that was negative. That was a bad thing to do. Or I would hope you would. As a community person, I hope you would feel safe enough or brave enough to say, young man, you know, you need to stop throwing rocks at that building over there. That's detrimental to your community, so on and so forth, versus just letting it slide if you have that ability. I know it's scary out here, but if you have relations in your community is not scary. You know, you don't have to be a hostage in your community. I know. I'm from California, to where if you walk out your door, you're liable to be the last time walking out the door, and that's for anybody, women, children, or whatever. And I noticed that if you know the people in your community, you know, they're not going to mess with you. Our elders, our elder women, I'll give you an example. This is a good example for the South. We all, in our communities, we always have that one lady that everybody super respects. They be like, oh, no, that's Miss Johnson over there. Do not walk on her grass. Don't look her way. Pull your pants up. Turn your hat right. Whatever Miss Johnson say, in her presence, you're going to do it. Maybe if you get back around the corner, you let your pants sag back down. You start using that foul language again. And I think these elders are in all our communities, and we need more. And the reason these elders are respected is because they demand respect from the youngsters, and they know them. So a lot of these elders have been knowing these kids since they was little chumps. So you better not be disrespecting me. I helped raise your mom. I helped raise your grandmother. I know you. So I say that to say, if we get to know the people in our communities, which is me and my wife's mission, you know, we get to know people in our communities, then our communities automatically become healthier, become safer, because it becomes a family, not just my neighbors or not just the people that stay across the street. You become family. So that's one thing we could do today to build community relations. So, again, I don't want to be rambling, so I'm going to get back to the topic of getting to me and my wife's current mission and how we got here. So, again, we start seeing that it was Mobile had a problem. I read a couple studies saying that I believe they said one in three kids are on the track to have diabetes. And they did a study, and like I said, saying that the kids are getting bigger and bigger, and that I don't know if you guys know out there, but type 2 diabetes used to be, well, first of all, type 2 diabetes was almost not even heard of 30, 40 years ago on the scale it is now. And then look, 15 years ago, you weren't seeing kids with type 2 diabetes. Some kids did have diabetes, probably it was type 1, but type 2 diabetes kids are being born where they have to stick themselves with a needle every day. You know, that's sad. And to say that our kids are on a track to have that one in three are African kids, you know, that's sad to say. So that's something that we need to, I figure, man, that's something that we need to be combating now. So our mission today, our mission today is to get rid of the food insecurities our people have, make fruits and vegetables more easily accessible to our people through community gardens, through teaching people how to grow. Our mission, our goal right now is to get people to grow their own food for first consumption. So I want you to grow your own greens, grow your own okra, grow your own food, at least one food or two, depending how much yard you got, how much time and energy you got. You know, grow your own food for one to eat, For two, to feed the needy if need be. And for three, you can make money off of it, point blank. That solves a lot of problems. So you have fresh fruits and vegetables available to yourself, at least the ones you grow, and you can create a community market or on your street. Imagine, I'm rambling, but imagine if one neighbor grew all the tomatoes, you know, and just was responsible for watering the tomatoes and harvesting tomatoes. The next neighbor grew all the cucumbers in her yard. The next neighbor grew all the squash. And these three, four neighbors, all the community, come together and says, look, we're going to do a farmer's market. And you sell your squash, tomatoes, and I sell this, so on and so forth. And we trade what we don't sell, you know. And that's community. That's people eating. That's people not having to depend on the government as much. So if you do get food stamps, now you're able to use those food stamps to eat healthier now, because that's one of the problems with our people that have to get assistance is that we know we don't have enough to eat healthy as we would like to all the time. You know, or, you know, don't have the willpower to do so. But a lot of times, you know, you go in, I'll be disappointed when I walk in these stores and I see a lack of variety of fruits and vegetables. And I can see it. Some people just walk in the store and say, oh, this is all they got. So this is my choice. They don't know that they, you know, it just sucks. And that's what we're trying to get rid of right now. We're trying to bring attention to the lack of fresh fruits and vegetables in our communities. And most people may not notice it. But, you know, to all the listeners, all the people who will be listening to this, when you go to the store, look, especially in our black neighborhood, look at the produce. See what type of produce they have. See if it's fresh, you know. Inquire, you know, why we don't have mushrooms, or inquire why we don't have artichoke in our stores and stuff like that, you know. So, I mean, we need to – that, and that's what me and my wife are here for. So, basically – I'm going to let my wife talk about some of the things that we're doing in the community to make a difference and to get our people eating and living a healthier lifestyle, starting with the community garden.
Well, of course, I'm always going to say, Queen Katrina, do you have anything to add to what King Bo just said?
No, Queen, I'm just listening and basking in what he's talking about, because I, too, have a story, and it's just interesting just listening to the tidbits and how you all got from point A to where you are today. And it's really making me kind of chuckle underneath, because where people normally see this as a struggle, transportation and different things, you all have let that serve as a strength to, you know, make the system work for you. And I think that that's what our people in the local community need to understand. Instead of, you know, just giving up so quickly to what society is putting upon us, we just need to really just, you know, use it to our benefit instead of our detriment. But Queen, go ahead, because I'm just listening.
But that is very, very true what you just said. A little bit about myself. Like my husband said, I'm from Compton, California. And yes, everything you heard about is true. A little bit. We're nice people, I promise. But you know, growing up there, my dad actually moved us away. Me and my two brothers, I have an older brother and a younger one. My dad actually moved us away from there when I was about maybe like eight years old. Well, I got shot when I was 8 years old, so yeah, it was time to bounce at that time. So my dad moved us to Orange County, and that's where I went to school at. And, you know, my mom moved to Alabama. She had, like I said, during the 90s and all that, she went through the drug issue and what have you. And she moved us to Birmingham. So I ended up staying there with her. Like I said, she was still doing the kind of street thing. So I kind of had to fend for me and my brothers. We were living with my great aunt, who was like 70-something at the time and had no business being left alone with three kids. So that was that story. And like I said, she kind of had me believing that my dad was like the worst person in the world, and he was like the best person in the world for me. And I found that out later when I moved back with him and, like I said, went to high school and all that stuff after me and him worked out our little kinks in our relationship. And he just really gave me a new, like my husband said, he gave me a breath of fresh air on a new life. When I started living with him, I didn't have to worry. I could just be a kid again. And it was hard for me to get used to that in the beginning, so that's why me and him butted heads a lot. But I got into the street stuff, the gangs and all that. But like I said, he brought me back around to realizing that, you know, what life could be, and there's way more to life than what I was doing, and that I had a father who cared, who always cared. When I was 18 years old, he showed me all the receipts he had ever sent me from Western Union, that the money my mom never gave me. So he was that kind of father that didn't even feed me any information until he knew I was ready. So I do appreciate him for that. I ended up going to college in Birmingham when my mom got sick. I went to Auburn, actually, for two semesters. My mom got sick in Birmingham, and I moved back and ended up going to UAB, graduating with an associate's in business accounting. When I got out of college in 2008, of course, that was when the recession came, and I couldn't even find a job in my field, so I started working at a paper production company in Birmingham for a few years, and it was all good. Moved back to California, met my husband, and the rest is history as far as from how we got there to Mobile. Doing the community gardens, like I said, when we first got here, we were struggling. Like I said, we moved from a situation we thought was going to be good, and we kind of came here with nothing because we had to get out of the situation we were in Birmingham. We were on the bus. Like I said, that's why community is so important to us. When we were on the bus, and I was actually pregnant with my last child, every day riding the bus, getting up at 5 in the morning, catching the bus at like 5:45, 6 o'clock, and the same people going to work every day and the same people getting off at the same time and connecting on buses, we became a big family. It came to the point where we could get on the bus and, like, hand our kid to somebody, like, here, can you hold him for a second while I put my dollar in the thing? And then, you know, everybody, like, knew everybody, and it was a wonderful thing, and that's why community is so important. When they shut the buses, I mean, cut the routes and stuff, we were really upset about that because, like I said, people needed that to get to work. A lot of my friends at the hospital, I was at Mobile Infirmary, lost their jobs because it stopped going to Pritchard, and it was just awful. And that was our first injustice that we fought for here in Mobile, as my husband said. After, like I said, once we got our little van that we've had, we love our little van, yay, we started doing our gardening. And we have about 5 or 6 community gardeners right now, and every last one of them is on the bus route. And we made sure of that because we stayed true to, like I said, our humble beginnings. I could be a millionaire. I don't think that ever happened. But if I ever even got $1 million, I would never leave as the so-called the hood. I would never leave because this is where, yes, I would buy the block back and rebuild it because I love it here. Like I said, the bad things are perpetuated and all that stuff, but I do love the essence of Black people. I love the essence of us, just us hanging on the porch, us having the cookouts, us doing, you know, we are a tribal people. Community is in our blood, and it's there. We just have to tap back into it, and that's what me and my husband are really here to do. Our mission is to promote the culture, to make you proud of your Black skin, proud of your red skin, proud of your yellow skin, proud of your culture and what we can do and what we have done, and how we can be self-sufficient in this economy that we're living in now, because it's about to hit the fan. And we need to know how to fend for ourselves. Our kids need to know how to fend for themselves once we leave here, because we are among very few species who know that we have to leave this earth one day. A lot of species aren't aware of that, but we are. So we have to prepare and act as such and do what we have to do, like I said, to leave it to the next generation to propel us forward. So that's really you know, me and my husband's mission is community and unity, really. We can't do anything without that. We all have to be on the same page about the mission. We don't necessarily have to agree with everything. We all have friends, relatives. You don't agree with everything they say, but they may be your favorite cousin or your favorite this. You don't have to agree with everything that someone does or says. As long as it's not detrimental to the mission or counterproductive, then the mission should be at hand. Like I said, that should be the main thing. And we have to surround ourselves with like-minded people. We have to feed this good energy into people and let them know that I hate to sound like Jesse Jackson, but they are somebody.
Yeah.
That may have been Al Sharpton, I don't know. But We have to speak these good things into them and let them know that they can make a difference. They are intelligent. We are around intelligent children every day that they probably don't even think they have a chance in life, but they are very, very bright, and they could teach us something. As they say, a child will lead us, because they still have the innocence. They still have that zeal to learn, and we have to hone that. We have to really, like I said, gravitate to that and listen to them as well, because it takes, the circle of life. The intergenerational gap needs to be closed, and that's what we're here to do.
Right. So here in Mobile today, some of the disparities or health disparities that we're suffering from is, one, the obesity and the complications that come from that, and the preventable diseases that we're dying from. Two, our city and most Black communities, they care a little bit less about the poor Black communities. And right now we have over 21 million gallons of waste in our in our waterways around Mobile. That includes rivers, and that's all from the city, because they have old, outdated technologies for the water treatment system. We have piles of coal stacked up less than a mile from a school and right next to a Black community, an uncovered pile of coal. And as you know, coal dust is detrimental to health. So we may not get if our kids that go to this particular school may not have symptoms while they go to the school, but those symptoms might show up a little bit later in the form of asthma, bronchial issues, so on and so forth, and all the other things that the coal miners have to deal with. Uncovered coal right here in our communities. Abandoned fields that create a havoc. You know, their eyesore. When we see these fields, when I go through Pritchard and other Black communities, and people just don't care about these abandoned fields that look like it's woods and woods for miles and miles, but it's just a little lot. That's sad to me. This lot could be growing food. This lot could be a park. This lot could be just a beautiful place where people could come sit and chill under the pecan trees and watch the squirrels. It's sad that our community, you know, we want to have pride for our community, and the city wants us to have pride for our community, but they make it hard because they don't assist our community like we need, which in turn makes us don't give a care about our own communities, because we figure we can't go out. I don't have a lawnmower to go mow all these lawns. I don't have a weed whacker. I don't have a chainsaw to cut these trees down, but I would like it done, you know, and that's the city's job. So here in Mobile, our homeless population here in Mobile, we have more churches than homeless people, and that's across America. We have more empty houses than homeless people. We have Roger Williams projects that have been sitting there for I don't know how many years that can be housing some of these homeless people. And when I say homeless people, I'm not talking about just the people that sleep on the street. You know, I'm talking about people that sleep on somebody's couch. I'm talking about somebody that been in your house that, you know, your aunties or your nieces and nephews, your sons and daughters and stuff that are homeless sleeping in your extra room or your living room or on the floor, on a pallet. You know, these people deserve homes and a fair chance like everybody else. But due to our economy, due to injustice, our people are forced to live a certain type of way. And again, me and my wife are here. So any injustices that we see, that we think we're able to hop in the fight and make a difference, we're going to do it. And like I say, we need our help to do that. And we want everybody else to get involved. I want everybody else to pick an issue that concerns them or might not concern them. And I want you guys to get involved with it. I want you guys to learn about it. And I want you guys to see how you can make a difference about it. And one of the things me and my wife hate most, and hate is such a strong word, is we hate when people wait to get involved, wait till something hits close to home to get involved with the issue. So when we have a domestic violence event and nobody comes
or we have a Stop the Violence event and we have lack of participation, the people that seen the event, they would want somebody to have that event for their family members, or if they were involved in a domestic dispute, now they would want people to bring attention to it. But I'm basically, what I'm trying to say is, don't wait till something hits home for you to care about it. Mobile, Alabama, and Jefferson County, Alabama, are the two leading counties with new HIV cases and existing HIV and AIDS patients, Mobile County and Jefferson County. Again, don't wait till a cousin or a family member has AIDS to tell people, you know, practice a safe, healthy lifestyle so you can lower your risk of contracting the disease that you have to live with for the rest of your life. And like I say, it's not just about the sex. It's about the needles. It's about tattoos. It's about how you're protecting yourself when you're around certain situations or thinking about it. So again, my beautiful people, don't wait till stuff hits close to home to try to bring awareness to it. Just don't. And I recommend everybody, and this is good for your health, because it's good for our soul, that thing we have inside of us that we really can't explain, but it feels good sometimes. I know how to make that feel even better, and that's doing for other people. You know, whatever you want to call it, if it's just your happiness or whatever, that feeling on the inside, that feeling of gratification, that feeling of accomplishment, you can get that feeling, and that releases endorphins in the brain. That helps with depression. It helps with stress. Is doing nice things for other people. You actually like rewarding yourself. So when you say, you know what, I'm gonna go make 100 sandwiches and I'm gonna pass these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out to the homeless, you're gonna feel good when you pass that last sandwich out, and people are like, man, thank you, I really appreciated this. I don't know how you knew to be here at this particular time, but I appreciate it. You know, when you say I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna read a book to a group of kids, or you know, say I'm gonna volunteer at this elders facility because nobody comes to visit them, or whatever it may be. I want people to get involved and start doing stuff that makes a difference, and promoting stuff that makes a difference. Definitely. So that's what I'm asking all my beautiful people out there to do. Get involved with the issue and make a difference. It'll make you, your community, it'll make everybody around you better, and to make you a better person, make your place and your community a better place to be. Definitely. And don't be scared. A lot of people are scared, like, you know, have potholes in their communities or have these type of issues in the community, but they're scared to say, you know what, Mr. Manzi or Mr. CJ or Gregory, Miss Gregory and all the other city councilmen and Mayor Richardson, they're scared to say, look, man, I have a problem in my community, and my problem is this. You know, so my beautiful people, again, my wife said we one of our main things is unity and building self-esteem amongst our people. And with that self-esteem comes self-assertiveness. And when you're assertive, you know, you're a change maker. You have the ability to make change because you're assertive and you're not scared to get in the trenches. You know, you're not scared to speak your mind intelligently. And that's what people fear. They fear an intelligent person fighting for the rights of other people and themselves. You know, if you're intelligent and you say, you know what, that's wrong, and I'm going to fight for it, I'm going to say it's wrong, I'm going to keep saying it's wrong, they fear that. They fear that person coming along and rallying up the people to unify. So we have to do it. It's a must. But I don't want to ramble on. Do you queens have anything to add to that?
No, I was going to ask. Queen Katrina, do you have anything to add, sweetheart?
No, ma'am. Believe it or not, I am still just really tuning in, and I can't say that I didn't know about some of the statistics and some of the disparities and the things in which we deal with in our community, but it's really good to hear more information and to just give us time to really put things in perspective. And I think my closing mark would be, what are we doing? Because it's time out to start to just keep complaining about things that we see is not right. Our communities have broken down homes, or homes that are not in livable condition, or they need to be condemned, or, you know, the lots, like you're saying, Bo, the lots need to be cleaned off, and we have children playing in these communities, and we have a lot of drug infestation going on. And the thing is, what are we doing? We need to get on the horn, send letters. I send letters to my congresspeople, and I send letters to the city council, and I send emails, and I make my voice heard. I don't get a chance to go to the town hall meetings, but I feel like now that I have the open door policy to go into the mayor's office and say, hey, these are things that I notice, again, being our sister and our brother's keeper is what we need to do. So what are we doing? Are we constantly fighting each other and just saying, well, you know, it's none of my business, or are we really trying to make the community better, not just for us, but our today, which are our children, not just the children that we birth, but all of the children in the community are our children. We have a responsibility, you know, and the problem is we want to shun our responsibility until something happens. And then we want to start talking and saying things that's not going to help the situation, but just, oh, I know that wasn't going, you know, it wasn't going to turn out right. Or I, you know, so it's time for us to stop talking so much about one another and start pulling our resources together. And yeah, maybe you don't have a lawnmower, Bo, and maybe I don't have a lawnmower, but we can definitely get on the horn and talk to the city council and say, look, this is a problem because of X, Y, Z. And I love my community. And I don't want you to wait until it's time for you to get a vote to come and start working on the community. I want you to work on the community so that when it is time to vote, the people don't have to wait and figure out what it is that you've done to help our community. It's really time
exactly.
to just come together and come together. It's time I follow this, you know, everybody to each man for himself, so to speak. Or running over the next man to get to the top, or what we think is the top. It's time out. You know, I'm really trying my best not to be angered, because anger doesn't really help with me right now. Stress doesn't really help with me right now. But I'm very passionate. I've learned to turn that anger into passion and saying, you know what, it's time. It's time to pull it together. It's time for us to pull back our community and do what we need to do to save not just the future, but our today. You know, the children that we look at every day, we don't understand. They may be acting out because they don't have, because their parents are without jobs or whatever. But that's none of our business. You know what I mean? Like, our business is to make the community our business. That's our business.
Get around to know everybody, and you know, like you said, just getting out there and coming. We have to get to know each other, because otherwise we're just going to continue to be strangers.
Right.
Like you said, go ahead, Queen.
No, I was just going to say, Queen, I'm sorry. So I'm so sorry, but I was just thinking, like, how many of us know our neighbors? You know, how many of us feel comfortable going over, not to ask your neighbor for a cup of coffee or a cup of sugar, but to just say, you know what, I saw some negative activity going on, or I saw someone going to your driveway, or I know you're getting ready to go out of town. Let me help you. Let me check your mail. Let me be the neighborhood watch community that's in all of the more well-to-do neighborhoods. Hey, we can formulate our own neighborhood community right now.
Right.
Yep.
Not
yep.
waiting
the
until somebody breaks
watch.
Into a mailbox. You know, it's just time out.
Go ahead,
you know,
Queen. I'm saying that about the neighbor situation. We had a neighbor who lived next door not too long ago, and he knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew our habits. Let's leave, and we go to the garden. We do this. We do that. We're family people. And one day he stopped my husband. And he said, you know, I came over here last night and was somebody sitting on your porch. And he said, it wasn't nobody, you know, that I ever seen come over to your house. So I said something to him, and he left. He said he was just sitting, but I just wanted to let you know. And he's a young guy that lives next door, and I really respected that because, you know, you watching out for my stuff, and I appreciate that. It's the little thing.
Right.
So it definitely, like I always say, it takes a village, and it's definitely true.
Right.
You're right about
time,
that.
I want to address two things you said because I deal with the anger also. But first, I want to say something about the community. Too many times in our communities, we're scared or we have a fear to talk to somebody or we have a fear of getting to know somebody, you know, or we just don't know how. And I know we have a lot of holidays. Me and my wife don't partake in many of them. But, you know, one of the things we like to do like during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we make breast cancer ribbons. And, you know, to our community people, we say, here's a cup of breast cancer. Here's a breast. And that opens up the door to talk, you know. This last weekend with our little friend, Kaylon, our little seven-year-old buddy who got shot in the arm. She's a soldier. She's a trooper. She's doing well, everybody. We had the little function that we had for her, you know, we were able to meet her mom, her family, some more of the community. So throwing on those community fun. When people smell barbecue, they get curious anyway. So, and then her from the event that we threw for Kaylon, her and my little girl are like best friends now. They're almost inseparable. Even on that day, every picture that, seriously, it was amazing. So every picture that Kaylon and my little girl's in, and I told my little girl, I said, man, get out the picture, let her take her pictures. And the little girl said, no, I want Jalen in the picture with me. I said, okay, then go ahead. So it was wonderful. And again, we're building. Yeah, it was good. So again, we're building community, we're building relations. The other thing I want to address is the anger thing. Now, no matter what, almost all the time when us black people stand up for ourselves, people say you're angry, you're mad. And it's like, no, I'm not mad. I'm just letting you know I'm not with the BS. I'm just letting you know I'm not, today I'm not taking this mess. And you can say I'm mad, but I'm not. Every time I ever got in, like, you know, even with the manager at the apartment I was telling you about, I'm a big black guy, you know. So I just happen to sweat. I have a sweating problem. So in the summer I just always sweat. I could walk 10, 15 steps and I'm sweating. So if I'm ever trying to stand up for myself or stand up for somebody else, which I do often, people always accuse me of being angry. It's like, you're angry. And it's like, you know what? So what if I am angry? You know, that's an emotion, you know. And again, most of the anger that they assume is passion. So when I'm out here talking about, and people think me and my wife are crazy revolutionists or crazy revolutionaries, and they're right, you know, we're crazy revolutionaries, you know. But when I'm talking about change and I'm talking about it with passion, people are, oh, he's just an angry black man, or he's a, they call him what, angry blacktivist, or you're angry, just an angry black man. It's like, no, I'm not angry. I'm passionate. You don't see what's going on over here? You don't see what's going on over there? You don't see that we're all caught in this trap? You know, same thing. And the only thing that makes people realize that I'm not such an angry black man is when my beautiful, sweet wife comes along and they're like, oh, he cool. He couldn't, he couldn't possibly be that angry man with a wife like that. Her eyes, her teeth always showing, eyes shining bright, and my kids also. So, but I always come off as angry and black. But my suggestion is to our people is to get angry about something, you know, and if you're showing anger for it, that means you kind of care about that situation. So you can fix your anger by fixing the problem. Me and my wife are known as the MAD activists. And MAD happens to be an acronym for making a difference. But indeed, our brand as far as activism is the MAD activist, because we're mad that our people are dying from diabetes and preventable diseases. We're mad that our government is systematically set up for our people to fail. And we're sad that our people that do make it out, they look back at the other people like, you peasants, you should just do what the right thing and you'll make it out too. So we're mad that our young men get gunned down in the street by police with no justice. You know, we're mad about all the previous injustices that have gone on in our nation. You know, we're mad that kids only get 15 minutes all year of health nutrition in school, about 15 minutes. You know, we're mad about those things. So since we're mad about them, we have to make a difference about them. And that's who we are. We're the making a difference activists. So anything that we're passionate about, anything that we get mad about, we're going to make a difference. And if we can and have the resources, you know, we're kind of like going to be entrenched in this war. So if my people are tired of having potholed streets and me and my wife just so happen to get in that fight, guess what? We're going to be in that fight because them streets is paved. Or unless we're going to raise the money and pave them ourselves, and then that'll be a problem for the city, and they have to come through the whole street for real because it wasn't professionally done. So we can, you know, anyway, me and my wife are here to make a difference in the community. So if anybody wants to contact us, we'll give you our contact information. If anybody wants to learn how to start and maintain a garden, that's one of our specialties right now, is we want people to start gardens in their home. Let us know. The winters are going to be pretty short. Fall's going out, and if you guys come now, you guys will probably get some greens and some kale and some leafy greens growing, and I teach you how to keep it going through the winter. And come spring, you'll have a green thumb. You'll be able to grow you some tomatoes, grow you some cucumbers, grow you some squash. All, and if you don't have the space, we can come to your house and make some space. But that's who we are. We want to make a difference.
Okay. Wait. Here's your first customer. I got two little gardens that I started about 3 years ago. And I'm not a gardener, but I had a desire. And I was able to make peppers, the pepper plants, and they came back for a couple of years. But I did too much. You know, I got all excited. I had squash. I had eggplant. I had sweet potatoes. I had okra. And what I wound up getting was a big glop of, I had cantaloupe too. I had a big glop of weeds that just got tangled up, you know. I mean, so I'm the first one on the list. Seriously,
definitely,
I've got two
definitely.
Little areas in my backyard that my husband started for me, but he, you know, it was my project. I'll give him that. And he was willing to, you know, get it started and everything. But the problem is I got so excited, so I don't know what to do, how to do, but I have a desire. I'm not lazy. I will get out there. I will dig. I will do whatever because I believe in dealing with the mother nature, the dirt. I love it. But my thing is I don't know how to, you know, not overdo it. You know, do I need more space? You know, is what I'm trying to do too much? You know, the pepper plants, like I said, they did good. But, yeah, I'm your first one. Let me know when. I'm ready.
Okay. Definitely. You are on the list for sure. And I want to give everyone out there our contact information, which is Sheena and Bo Williams, and that is area code 562-508-2132. Again, that number is area code 562-508-2132. Our Facebook, you can catch us at The Mad Activist. Our email, makingadifference258@gmail.com. Again, that email is makingadifference258@gmail.com. Call us anytime. Let us know if you're ready to get your garden on. We got our tools in the back of the van ready to pull up on anybody who needs some digging done. We ain't messing around. So give us a call.
That's awesome.
That's one of our missions right now. We hope to be able to get funders and sponsors to help us do this. A short story. If somebody, we have a short story. We have elders in our community who get disability checks, or they get their retirement checks, and most of that money goes to living expenses. And when they go apply for food stamps, they give them $34, $54, not nearly enough to supply them with an adequate amount of food for the year. So like you said, a little plot of land or a couple buckets, a couple pots would be able to help somebody feed themselves through the summer off of one squash plant,
exactly.
off of one cucumber plant, a couple okra. Man, we were eating so many okra this summer, it was crazy. And I believe you could probably plant okra in your grass and it's going to come up and be some good okra because okras are resilient. So if we can just get people to grow and get people to see the benefits of growing your own food, and then if you got too much, like I say, if you're one of those ambitious people and you dig you a whole big old plot of food, use it. Don't let it go to waste.
Or call us and we'll pull up and we'll pick it up and we'll make sure it goes to good use. I promise you that.
Okay.
Definitely. And sister, let us know when. We'll come out there and help you. We'll give you some advice. Like I said, we currently got some seeds and stuff, so let us know when we can pull up and help you out, and we'll be able to use you and show other people that it can be done. A little community help, and it can be done. You know.
Look, I'm gonna go ahead and put my. I'm checking my calendar right now. See, you think I'm playing? I'm not playing. I take advantage of every bit of helpful information I can get. You know, it's not. You know, I have a neighbor next door, and I promise you, the neighbor is phenomenal. We've been in our house now about 13 years. Every year when they get tomatoes or they get bell pepper, onion, whatever they get, lemon, lime, oranges, whatever, they always come down in the community and they give. And I do the same thing because I have relatives in Sarah Land, and they have, you know, grapefruit trees and greens and things, and we do the same thing. But I want to go out farther than just my neighbors right there in front of me and beside me. You know, there are too many people right up off of DIP that used to live underneath in their crowded area before they started building McGowan Park up.
Mm-hmm.
And now those people I see on a regular going to, Wings of Life or what have you. Those people are our people, and they are asking for help. They're asking for help. And
right.
they don't ask for a whole lot. It's just, you know, they'll say, well, whatever you have. Well, I love helping. But I can only do so much going into the high-priced stores, right? But if I could go to and get my garden going, then I can do more. So plant a seed and watch it grow, that's what I'm all about.
Right.
So y'all ain't saying nothing but a word. I'm looking at my calendar, okay, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday. All right?
This Saturday?
Seriously. Yeah,
okay.
Next Saturday.
Because
this Saturday I'll be getting ready for the end of a Whitman's revival that's going on. But next Saturday, if you guys are free, hey, how about this? If I need to take a day off work to get this thing started, that's what I'm willing to do. That's how serious I am.
No, please go to work. We can set up. We can that Saturday will be fine. We'll set up and get everything ready. Maybe we can meet before then and just take a little peek and see what we can do. We'll do a little plan and get some stuff growing. Let's keep growing.
Now our listeners are listening in, and I want them to know that I am serious about this. I don't start, you know, something that I don't finish. And that's one thing that I'm very passionate about. I've learned to let my anger king go into a more positive state and make it more passionate. But I'm still working, you know. I'm still in progress, you know, a work in progress. But that's therapeutic for me, working in the garden.
I was just going to say a garden by itself knocks down so many health disparities holistically. You know, it's therapeutic, it's meditative, it's exercise, and you're getting fresh fruits and vegetables. You're getting sun, you know, you're moving around, you're looking, you're kind of happy, and you get the one of the things that we look over a lot is the power of nourishment. Did I say it right? Nourishment.
You did.
Or nourishment.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, uh-huh, a lot of men, you know, we don't have babies as men, and you know, some of our elders ain't had, you know, so, but you know, we can help a plant grow. Our elders, they love, you know, they can't handle a baby and watching them grow, and you know, but your plant, you can, and then your plant becomes your baby, becomes your friend. You see them tomatoes coming, you get to talking to it, like my wife just said, because it's alive. It has DNA, it has genetic strains, and it's alive. So a garden does so many wonderful things for us. So many.
It will thrive
things.
Like it makes you thrive. If you pour love into that soil and those seeds, and as those seeds sprout into something that's going to become productive and yet filling and satisfying to your palate, just think, if you feed it love, then it's going to give you the same love back into your body. It's a cycle, you know?
Yep.
And it's not a vicious cycle. It's a healthy cycle.
It's a healthy, exactly, and this is what we want to pass down to our kids. We want to pass down the growing of food, eating healthy foods. We're gonna break this unhealthy cycle of diabetes and obesity in our community. We're gonna break this cycle. We're gonna teach our kids, and there's nothing like, I just ate a we still got tomatoes growing. Believe it or not, gardeners out there, they know tomatoes is usually a warmer weather, so I ate a fresh. Every time I go to our garden, I get fresh cherry tomatoes. I rinse them off and I pop them right in my mouth, and they're the best tomatoes I ever tasted in my life. Every time I eat one, I say, man, this is the best tomato I ever ate. Man, this is the best. Every time I eat one, I say it to myself, because in the store, when they anytime they start mass producing stuff, it's about the dollar bill. It's not about the perfect tomato with all the nutrients. And I don't care if it's lopsided. I don't care if it, you know, I don't care about that. I don't care about the perfect round tomato. I want the nutrients that's in those tomatoes. So, like I said, definitely me and my wife look forward to coming and helping you with your garden. And for anybody else, you know, as long as me and my wife have time and the energy to do so, we would love to help everybody else get growing. And give people the opportunity to possibly make some money off of it through farmers markets. We and my wife are the assistant managers at the farmers market in Pritchard, and we're trying to build that. I think this was the second year of it being done, so we're trying to build it up to be the best farmers market. Many people don't know about it, so we're promoting it now, getting ready for the spring. So when we grow all that food and we've ate all we can eat, and we've given away all we can give away, and then you can make your money off of it and help you sustain yourself. So if you got some backyard and some sunshine and you want to possibly learn how to make some money off of your yard, even if it's a small space, you know, let us know. And there's so many I could talk about gardening all day. There's so many beneficial things that we can grow in our garden that we might not think about, such as mint, such as sage, such as all the basils, all the stuff we got in our cabinet. We can literally just, like, rosemary, just grow that right outside our back doors, whether we have just a porch or whether we have a balcony or whether we have a full yard. So a lot of the stuff that we spend a lot of money on in the store, and believe me, when you sprinkle that oregano out of that container, it's nothing like some fresh, dried oregano that's only a week and a half old being put on your food. Or some fresh thyme. Oh, I can talk about it all day. So again, there's no garden too small, and there's no garden that's too big when it comes to us, definitely. So everybody use us, and like I say, again, I want everybody out there to vow to make a difference. Get involved with the issues. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about the violence in the community. Stop talking about domestic violence. Stop talking about wanting to do something. Stop talking about people actually get out there and do it. You know, you don't like something that these sisters out here doing, get out there and make a difference about it. You don't like how these sisters talking crazy and nasty these days, start a campaign to tell sisters, you know, we got a clean mouth campaign going. Brothers, we got a Pull Your Pants Up campaign going, or we got a Respect Women campaign going. It don't take much to start a campaign to get people involved. So, you know, me and my wife want to tell everybody, you know, get involved with the issue and make a difference today for tomorrow.
Well, I tell you what, you have given. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Queen. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Queen. No. You go ahead. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add that, you know, everybody contact us for all your gardening needs or community activist needs or injustices or anything like that. You can contact the Mad Activist. But honestly, we just really, really, really want to get the sense of community back, unity back. We just need to love on each other. I consider myself and you as well. I know we haven't met each other, but I consider us goddesses of love. That's what I consider us.
That's
and it's
right.
All about,
absolutely.
It's all about spreading that around, not sprinkling it, but spreading it on, pouring it on, and pouring it on thick. So that's what we're all about. So, as usual, love, peace, and health, everybody.
All right. We thank you guys so much for sharing that wealth of information. And I'm telling you, I am so excited. So, listeners, you really have no complaints. You have nothing to hold you down. Tonight, we have broken chains because we have talked about healthy Monday, not just Monday, but healthy every day by starting up. Pulling up your sleeves, rolling them up. You have no excuses now because the Queen and the King have laid out their information. So you are listening again to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday Night. Elder Katrina, Queen Sheena, and King Bo, we say God bless you. We love you. And stay tuned to next week. I will tell you all this, listeners. We'll be going into revival starting tomorrow night, Women Revival at Stone Street Baptist Church. If you are local and you would like to get a word of inspiration, a word of prayer, a word of comfort, feel free to come to Stone Street Baptist Church on Tunstall Drive, Mobile, Alabama, where we will have speakers throughout the week. And then on Saturday, we will have a prayer breakfast. And on Sunday, we will have our close out to Women's Revival on Women Day. So we won't come back anymore this week, but we will be back on next Monday and next Tuesday, providing that the Queen and King have more information. I'm so excited about the healthy ways because now, believe it or not, when I go into a store, and I want to leave you all with this, when I go into a store, I start looking for things that I've heard Bo and Sheena talk to us about, black rice, more green leafy vegetables, not trying to cheat my way out of doing things. There's always a way to learn to another way of being healthy. Not to say that we are perfect because we're all striving to get better and healthier, but tonight has been yet another night that has put the icing on the top of my pumpkin bread. Thank you very much. I said pumpkin bread, not cake. Okay?
I like
with small portions, small steps, baby steps. Okay, guys.
Have a good night.
Love you. Have a good night.
Love you. All righty. Bye.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio. Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.